Grace and peace to you, and welcome to Faith Lutheran Church. My name is Candace Wassell. I'm the pastor here at Faith. It is such a joy to have you visit with us. You are welcome, so welcome in every part of Faith's community. You are welcome to join us in person at worship on Sundays. You're welcome to visit us online. You're welcome in our mission and our fellowship, and most important, you are welcome at the Lord's table.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So John 3:16 is probably the most famous verse in all of Scripture. If you were to do a Google search on John 3:16, it returns 85 million returns in about a quarter second. Those returns include pages and pages of links to Bible studies and different Bible apps and things like that. It includes pages that tell you how great the verse is. It includes pages that tell you how terrible the verse is. It includes all kinds of things about the verse. And then you get into the section of merchandise. You can buy John 3:16 hats and shirts and tennis shoes and all kinds of things. So it's a very, very famous verse, perhaps even the most memorized verse, but I would argue that John 11:35 might give it a run for its money. And you can look that up later and see what I'm talking about. But, so what does this famous verse have to say to us today? To get at that, what I think we need to think about how we hear this verse in a couple of different ways. And the first way is one I don't think we do very often. And when we hear, "For God so loved the world," I think we need to hear, "For God so loved me." God so loved you. Yes, I think it's easy to understand. I think most of us probably understand that God loved the world. And it's easy to understand that, yes, God loves the world, blah, blah, blah. But it's harder to understand that God loves you. And that's a powerful thing to understand, that God loves you so much that he would send his Son to save you. And I think that's an important way to hear this verse at times. we can't dwell on that because it's not just about us, it's about the world. And the other way to hear that verse that I don't think we do enough or all the time is it's the whole world. It's not the Lutheran world or the Christian world or the world in the USA or the world that thinks like I do or the world that agrees with me on whatever this issue that's vitally important in your mind is. It may be less vitally important in God's mind, but I don't know. But I think it's important to understand that God loves the world. And in the context, in the original context, that was a radical thought because the Messiah was for Israel. But what Jesus is saying here is he's not here just for Israel. He's here for the world. That God loves the world enough to send him that whoever believes in him will be saved. Now, don't hear me preaching universalism when I say God came to save everyone. I believe that everyone has salvation available to them, but not everyone chooses to walk into salvation. But God loves everyone, and that love is available to everyone in the world. And I think that's important to remember, especially in this season we're in our country, in how divided we are. I think there's good things about social media, and I think it's overall good. You know, I've connected with a lot of people I wouldn't have otherwise connected with, but there's just so much negative things posted. But in this environment, I think it's important for us to remember, before we react to a post, we remember that God loves that person that we're about to react to. God may not love the idea they're espousing, although he might, I don't know. But God loves that person. And I think if we remember that, the rhetoric might get toned down a little bit. And I think that's important. It reminds me of the most convicted I've ever felt in a sermon was at All Saints and Sinners Church in St. Louis, probably 6 years ago. My friend Jake Austin was preaching. At the time, he was a non-denominational priest. This church was kind of on the road to becoming an Anglican church. I actually became the rector of this church when it came into the Anglican church. But anyway, at the time, it was a non-denominational church, and Jake was the pastor. And he was preaching a sermon. I don't remember what text he was preaching. I don't remember a whole lot about it. But what I do remember is Jake was talking about somebody he had cut off in traffic, and Jake cursed that person. And his child, who was probably 5 years old at the time, said, "Daddy, remember, Jesus died for that person." And I was in a conflict with a coworker at the time, and I had been having some less than fully Christian thoughts and conversations with this person, and I just was so convicted, and I just thought, oh my gosh, Christ died for Chuck, and I have to change my attitude about how I deal with Chuck. And that was the most convicted I've ever been during a sermon. But it's the same kind of attitude, same kind of idea, right? God loves the whole world. So when we interact with people, we need to remember that we're interacting with someone that God loves. So If we understand that God loves us so much that he sent his son to save us, and we understand that God loves the people we disagree with so much he sent his son to save them, what do we do with that? And I think the gospel and the epistle point us toward that, and that's we share that love in our environments. We do godly works. I know works, I've never used that word in a Lutheran church before, but it works flow from grace. Works happen. The epistle is very clear that works are things God has prepared for us to walk in. There are things that God is calling us to do. And I think everyone who has experienced God's love, who is accepting God's love, is called to do something. That's why I told you to remember the announcement about Monday meals, because that's something. That's something we can do. But so I think we're all called to do something, but not everybody is called to work Monday meals. People are called to do different things. There's lots of opportunity to live out that calling here at Faith. There's lots of opportunity in other environments. So I had a conversation a couple months ago with a person who was feeling guilty because they didn't feel like they had time to participate more in the church because they were so busy with their children. And what I told them was, your calling now is to be a godly leader in your family. And if that's what you can do now, then that's a noble calling. And that's okay. But our calling doesn't stay static. As we change seasons of life, as we learn more, as our children grow, as our work life changes, as we retire, our situation changes and we have our time availability changes. So it's just always evolving. But what I want to emphasize is, in a church this size and as well run as this church is, there can be an appearance for newer people, for younger people, that there's not a need for them to get involved. There is a need for everyone to get involved, and you are welcome to get involved. So if you're feeling called to get involved in the church in some way and you just don't know where to plug in, just talk to somebody. Talk to Pastor Candace, talk to Janet, talk to Jenny, talk to me, talk to any of the board chairs. If you don't know who they are, I think there's a list of them on the website. But anyway, there are ways to find who those people are. And I think there are lots of opportunities here at Faith. But your calling to live out your love for God doesn't have to be at this church. There are plenty of other ministry opportunities in our communities. I see Jim sitting here, and Jim is very active in Habitat for Humanity, which is a great, great ministry. I can't speak highly enough of what they do. Journey of Hope next door. I'm directionally challenged over here at the Methodist Church, is a great ministry. Caritas is a ministry on O'Fallon run by the Catholic Church. There are numerous other ministries around that people might get involved with. But so I just want to encourage you once you experience God's love, that God is calling you to share that love, to live out that love by sharing it with others. So what I really want you to hear from this sermon is God loves you. God loves you so much that he sent his son to save you. And God loves the world. God loves the people that you don't like. I think we're supposed to love them. But there's people that are harder to like than others. But God loves them, and we should treat them as beloved of God. And we're called to share that love in our environments. Amen.
The most valuable message we have to share at Faith is the promise we have in Jesus. We come together every Sunday to share this good news in the reading of Scripture and sharing of Holy Communion. It is these two acts of worship that we learn of the forgiveness, peace, and joy that Jesus has won for us on the cross. These gifts also belong to you, and we hope you will feel welcome to receive them. After we've shared worship together, we trust that we are ready to be sent out into the world to serve our neighbor, and you're welcome to join us in that great work as well. There are so many opportunities at Faith to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. It's what we feel called to do. It's what we're passionate about. Above all, I want to encourage you in your faith. No matter where you're at in your journey with Christ, you are welcome to visit Faith as often as you are able. But whatever you do, keep searching. There is a church family set aside just for you, and I trust the Holy Spirit will place you right where you need to be.